Okay, so Bez Hashem will start the, I guess, the winter season. So I just maybe just spend another moment. I don't know who we have here, new people, old people, explaining why I think it's a very important limud, this limud over here. Everyone's got an agenda, myself included, and I'd like to explain a minute. When it comes to halacha, we have two structures set. We have the Shas, and a person can go through Shas and construct the outline of halacha. You know, there'll be a lot of mistakes, loopholes, but you have something. And Shulchan Aruch is a default halachic setting. And when a person has Shulchan Aruch and he passes Shulchan Aruch with the Rama, he's pretty much on safe ground, and that's that. The problem is, in Agadata, we have zero that matches with it. In Agadata, the Midrashim are cryptic. There's no way a person can take the Midrashim and Agadata and make any type of coherent type of Hashkafa. The Rambam Yisrael Torah is a sketch of it, but it deals with very specific issues. And we have nothing like a Shulchan Aruch. So the only place we can get it are Rishayim, who speak about these things. So what I did in Yeshiva was, on every parasha, I put together Rishayim who speak about Hashkafik and Yonim. And my criteria were, A, the Rishayim; two, they deal not with Parshanut, with Pirush HaMikra, as much as they deal with ideas, a concept, a belief of some sort. And third of all, I have to have some shaykhs of the parasha pasuk so that I'd have a reason to put it in some place. But those are my criteria. So we'll start parashas Lech Lecha, that next the weeks this coming parasha. The first piece in the Yisrael Torah is the Rambam. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So this is very interesting because the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah gives us a historical introduction to Avodah Zarah. It seems strange. There's only 1.5 other places that I know the Rambam does that. In Chanukah, he gives a historical introduction, which makes sense because there's no Torah Shabbat Ksav, so he's filling in Torah Shabbat Peh, which is what he always does. You know, it's his safest filling in. And two, in Hilchos Kedushin, he does speak a little bit about what was before Matan Torah, and I think there's a reason for that there in the context of it. Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he spends an entire perek talking about it. I'm not quite sure why it's the entire parak. One guess would be to explain, it helps understand what the different primary Surah Avodah Zarah are. That's a possibility. I also thought of the following. Of all the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzavas, all the various that exist in the world, the one that doesn't seem to make any sense of Avodah Zarah. I mean, people, Adam Rishon saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, interacted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a simple thing. It was as pashut as anything else in the world. Why would one day somebody get up and say something different? It doesn't make any sense. How did somebody, if it quote unquote wasn't true, how did somebody get up and say that this sheep is a god or this rock is a god or whatever it is? So the Rambam's Hakdama is helping us understand that the descent into Avodah Zarah was a gradual descent. It's somewhat helpful to understand it like that. It covers the first half of the Rambam, not the rest of it. One more interesting point about Avodah Zarah is just sort of going off on a tangent. The Rambam sticks it in Mada. So in Mada, he has Yesodei Torah and Deis that are all philosophical, even though it has halachic issues, ramifications, Amunah, and so on and so forth, but the substance is all different ideas, concepts, however you want to call it. Hilchos Talmud Torah is also, a lot of it is Agadic-like, Tshuva. Avodah Zarah is 80% pure technical halachas. We have it in Yerodea. It occupies a nice section, a part of Yerodea. Is the Rambam put it there because he couldn't find it? There was no other real place to put it in. It maybe didn't fit with the other things. I don't know. Just something that's interests me always. Okay, but let's see the piece that he says here and go through the perek. One more point about the Rambam's godless in this perek. In halacha, the Rambam took different sugyas, worked them through, and he made halachas out of it. Most of the time, we could do it ourselves. Of course, we'd mess up, we wouldn't get it. The Rambam every so often surprises us by learning up the sugya differently. But again, in the big picture, it's reasonably close to what somebody could do himself. In Agada, like in over here, what the Rambam does is he takes Midrashim that are stories, and he's able to take out the point of it and to make a structure out of it. It's remarkable. It's remarkable how the Rambam took stories, gave, we'll see as we go along, took and gave a twist to the point of the story, and then made it part of a big picture. Okay, so Bimei Enosh, Tov Ne'odem Toz Gadol. People made a terrible mistake. V'nivara Atzasach Mesedor. So when Chazal said Bnei Enosh Huchalikar B'Shem Hashem, so B'Yom Avur Hashem Hashem, the Rambam learns that pasuk to mean it's when people started worshiping Avodah Zarah. It doesn't mean the first time Avodah Zarah was ever done. That wouldn't make any sense. It should just say that they worshiped Avodah Zarah, and we know it's the first time. Huchal means a process started that eventually degenerated into full-fledged Avodah Zarah. That's simply how the Rambam is teaching the word Huchal. And people... They was foolish. They messed up. Even people, wise people. The Enosh Atzmo Menatoyim Hoya. Enosh Atzmo made that mistake. I assume it's because the pasuk attributes it and says in his days Avodah Zarah began. It obviously means it was under his watch. He something was missing in him that he didn't know better, didn't do better. V'zuay seta'usam. And this was the mistake. Omru, they said, hoy v'lekim baruch hachavim elu, v'galgalim nahanigas olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a natural world, galgalim and kochavim, to rule over the world. V'nesana b'marim, and he placed them high up, so it means position of importance, significance. V'chilek lam kovid, it's very impressive. They are worthy of receiving kavod. So they made a statement and they said, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them kavod, it behooves us to give them kavod as well. Mistake number one. And they attributed it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wants it. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them important, we should also. K'moish HaMelech Hoyitzel Chaber Emnu Lefanav, just like a king would like his offices to be held in esteem. V'zer K'vodesh HaMelech. K'yiv M'sha'ol Adov Azalibo. Once they had this idea, Yischilu Lidmas Gechom Mecholos Olakav and Korbanos L'shav L'farm Dvarim. They then started, so that was step one. Now they started building and creating a whole culture of worship to them. But they were still holding by Kodesh Baruch Hu, except they now made a formalized worship of different bodies in the universe as a means of doing what's right and as a means of getting a Kodesh Baruch Hu to do what they want. We have a special issa not to be mispalti's gachavim. In other words, anytime we create some sort of mahalach where it's helpful to dance around these things, we're in trouble. V'zei yekayv ha'z gachavim. This was the main point of ha'z gachavim in those days. This is what the word said. Hayoyde mikra. The people who were in the know, the theologians. Lo'yishna mishen shema lekala kachav zeh. They weren't saying these are the divine being per se. Everybody recognizes that you're the great God. The mistake is that they think all this nonsense is what you have in mind. So that was stage one, stage one and a half. Then at some later point, and what it means also is, when you're teaching, for instance, and you pile on many new ideas, it doesn't work. If you say a shir, and you add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points of new information, you lose everybody. If you take one point and you chazer till it becomes a sort of habit, understood, then you can add a second point and a third point. The same thing, new ideas are new when you have many ideas piled up and then you run into a problem. When you have one idea, it settles in till it becomes muskovishon. Then the Nevi Hashekah came and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to worship directly these ones, to bring korbanos to them, and make images of it so that everybody can come and worship to the God. He would give them some sort of figure that he had thought up of. This is the star that Hashem told him. So now we have stage two is a real transition. They're still coming and saying Hashem said to do it. But the worship is directed to these beings, and the beings themselves have discretionary power to do good or bad. It's almost like when a king abdicates and says, I would like my son to be the one in charge. From now on, petition my son. He has full power and full authority to do what he wishes, etc. And the priest would tell everybody, this is really going to help your business a lot. This is going to be very good for you, and so on. This is what you shouldn't do. Then other liars came along and said, that actually they had communication from that angel, from that star, and so on. So this is another step to take away from being a hemshach HaKadosh Baruch Hu to being self-sufficient Avodah Zarah. This spread out the whole world. So again, this had become rampant. This had become common, and this was a given. The kiv mishorach hayomim. And then, as time went on, everybody forgot about Hashem. They didn't recognize him anymore. So the entire world, Noshim, Oktanim, and all they know is the word God. They say, yeah, we've got one over here in the hut. It's stone, it's wood. And the temples that they had, you know, that they've been raised since childhood to worship. And the wise people, the theologians, they had completely moved their sense of the divine to all of these stuff, to all these idols. But only a handful of people still recognize Rabbi Hashem. So the world kept going this way until Avraham Avinu came about. I'd like to zero in a minute on this lashon. So the Rambam explains that this was a situation that there were yechidim that were not like that. That's Shem Ve'ever. Even though these yechidim, he still believed and so on and so forth, Avraham Avinu is coming from someplace else totally. He's not a hemshech of that Mesoris. That's a fascinating point. We could have said that he was the biggest Talmud of Shem Ve'ever, and therefore he was the one who publicized and so on. It's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam makes it very clear. Shem Ve'ever was a small group of stragglers who kept the fire going, but that's not where Avraham came from. But another thing, the Rambam, certainly in Yarech HaZaka, the Rambam can write very poetically, but he doesn't write empty sentences. While Derech HaZay Olam Holech Umizgalgal at Shanulad Amuda Shal Olam. What's this Lashon? Olam was Holech Umizgalgal. My brother, Rabbi Yom Kalvach, told me that Reb Sham Shafal Weiss, that was his uncle, Ova Shalom, Reb Shalmei Weiss's father, and Chaim Shalavis's Mechutin. He asked it to Biskarov, and the Biskarov says, Val de Vel Dreitzach, Olam Mizgalgal, the world keeps going. But I think what it means is there's a certain element over here of self-containment. In other words, the belief in Avodah Zarah is that the elements within the world keep the world going. It's not that different, in a sense, than science and nature. The answer to what the world is and what keeps it going is to be found within the world. So a scientist is a much more sophisticated version. We think about laws and specific, the specific dynamics within the world. Ovid Avodazor thought that these rocks and stones, but the main point was if this rock or this animal or this star, then basically the world keeps itself going. Holochem is galgal implies a sort of self-continuity. Amudo shel olam Avraham Avinu, Amushal means you place the entire world on a column, meaning that there is something else that the world is resting on. Nothing, it's if I manage to, a helium balloon, it stands in the air. Anything else, anything heavier, rests on a column. So resting column means it's supported by something external. Being Heulach Miskalga meant that it just continues. Kivon Shen Nigmal Eisen Zeh. The Rambam here is taking the Chazal that he was 3 years old when he was Makir Boirei and explaining what is the significance. Why three? So he says three is the age of Gemila. It means that he weaned off his parents, his mother. Why? Why of all, I mean, why was that what it's totally in? So a firm guy will tell you, well, as long as he's drinking the treif milk of his mother, he couldn't think any kedusha. That would probably be a more chassidish pshat. I think there's another pshat. It means, or a pshat. It means like this. The a person is tied to certain entities, and he's not free to act differently, and he's not free to think differently. If I'm part of a society and I'm very dependent on that society, then I really cannot break free mentally, emotionally, and so on. There's a story in Eretz Yisrael, before the Kum Dina, the Zionists were trying to sort of unify all the schools in Eretz Yisrael, etc. So Dr. Weitzman came and he had a meeting with the Haredi Menalim of the schools, Rabbanim, and he promised them that he'll fund them 100% and he will absolutely not tell them what to do. So they refused it. So yes, why? I'm promising you on my word of honor, I will not tell you what to do. So Rav Werner, he was the Rav Tveri, I think, said, Dr. Weitzman, if you fund us, we'll ask you what to do. You don't have to tell us what to do. We're going to ask you what to do. In other words, when a person is tied to something else, A child is an extension of his mother because he's nursing from her. And therefore, the child is not free. It's nursing from the mother as a physical connection, but it also means that the bond of parent and child is so strong that the child is not quite free to think differently. It's just like a child in the younger years doesn't easily think differently than his parents. He may be angry, may refuse to do it, he may misbehave, but he's always perceiving misbehaving. The idea that he's setting out on a new path is starts at teenage when there's a ken al ken yazov. They don't have that in the early years because a child is part of his parents. But kibum shenigmal esezeh, when this giant weaned off his parents, hischa l'shotei bedato. That's the Rambam's lashon. He began to wander. He didn't find the truth immediately, but it allowed him to question what he had come up with and allowed him to wander off. V'hu katan, but he was still young. So he couldn't come to the emes immediately, but he could start wandering off he started thinking day and night. This is also something, what he means is that because he was aware of day and night, as it says later, that means that the world is in flux, it's dynamic, and therefore there must be more to it. So the hischalacha b'yom v'layla means he was aware, he was sensitive both day and night. And he wondered, how is it possible that the galgal keeps going all the time without anybody pushing it? Who turns it? Ki Efshasharatzma can't turn itself. Now let's talk about this a minute. The Rambam says this point also in Yisrael Yatayro. The Rambam's sort of central proof to a divinity is the world's continuing motion. Now, a few points. First of all, why didn't Rambam just say where the world comes from? Forget about the motion. Where does the world come from? Why wasn't that the thought process? So that's a question. Two, we have a bit of a problem with it, that there was the Aristotelian version that things cannot, anything that's turning must have something that turns it. That motion must be constantly being put in motion. Today, our understanding, Newton's understanding, and the understanding we live with is that anything that's moving will continue moving unless something stops it. So we have a bit of an issue with the Herring of the Rambam. So one, as regards the first point, why he picked the ongoing motion, I think the ongoing motion is a two-for-one. Because our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is two points. One is created the world, and two, he's actively involved, which we call Hashgacha, constantly actively involved in the functioning of the world and events that are unfolding. From the fact that he created the world, the question of where did everything come from, that would only give us one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything. But is he still involved in the world as it's ongoing? I don't have a raya for that. So the fact that right now he's pushing the world and moving the motion, that becomes a sort of raya for that also. Like he says, that there's a manhik. It's not just a bore, but a manhik. Now, as far as the Aristotelian part of it goes, I don't have an obvious answer for it, but one thing I would say is it is fascinating that science has discovered that the world is expanding, not that things are moving, things are accelerating. In other words, the world keeps on expanding and it's accelerating. acceleration is something that cannot happen without a force accelerating it. So the world is in constant acceleration, and that's impossible unless something keeps pushing it. And we don't know what's pushing it. So there is some sort of remez bizman hazeh. I mean, you know, it's interesting. The Ram didn't mean it, but just a point to think about. Voyatamea, and he wondered, Heich efshe sheyia galgze noyik tamit. How could it keep going? Voloyia lamanik, if no one is pushing it. And by the way, this is a long process. The process of Emunah didn't start with an instant teretz. It started with a question that really bothered him. He had nobody to teach him. He was an ur custom between all the students of his chavim. And everybody, his mother and father, and everybody was over chavim. He kept worshiping it, and that's how he understands the Chazal, whether it was Ben Sholish, whether it was Ben, and so on. But his heart kept on going ad shehisig derecha emes. Until he understood derecha emes, v'heivin kavat setting to us anechoina. So he kept looking and looking until he found it. Interesting, he says derecha emes and kavat setting. It wasn't like that. It didn't come with the polished, finished product, but he now understood what's the right approach. The Rambam's off of Avraham Avinu is probably the most. Avraham and Moshe, so nobody compares the two, but Avraham Avinu and the Rambam, there's a letter supposedly, it's not from the letters that are clearly, here's the Rambam's, where he named his son Avraham after the Rosh of old Me'amuna. The Rambam's sense of Avraham is Zabchina Yesh Me'ayin. Avraham is somebody that came from no place, and there was nothing, not the society, not his parents, nothing ever gave. And that's why he was not just like a connection to Shem Be'eva. This allows Avraham Avinu to create a new nation. If his own Metzias was just kind of a Hemshech, then there would be no Chiddush, no Hischatus, no ability to do something new. He's doing something new, that's a Chiddush Atzum. He's the Av of all Gerim. Avraham Avinu is a certain rebirth of the world. And the Rambam's Harocha, for somebody who was Oymer on the Emes, where society and every accepted belief was not like that, that he felt is tremendous. V'yoda shekola odom toy, he realized everybody's making a mistake. V'dova shegorlam litois, z'sheim z'chom z'satsuris, achar z'daita. And he also had to figure out, you have to understand something. If a person does an experiment and he comes up with a conclusion X and 10 other places, 20 other places do the same thing, they don't get the same results, the person should say to himself, my equipment must be damaged. I mean, an honest person would say, 20 people, 20 different institutions are wrong and I'm right. What are the odds? But if I understand, they're all using glass and I'm using plastic. They're using this type of thermometer and that type of thermometer. I have a teretz for that. So Avraham Avinu realized what had happened. And that's how he was able to be firm that I'm no the emes. What about everybody? Everybody's making a mistake, you know the emes? Yes, because they all started this process. You have to know the dovash gram litois. Achavas v'daita. Uben aboyim shoneka aspoirei. When he turned 40, that's when he finally recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam himself is referring to that. The Rambam himself said, Kivish Enigmal. But Ravid disagrees. Okay, so now that he himself understood, Kivin Shehike V'yeda, he started arguing, debating with the Nekastim. V'loima, she'ein zu derchem shal holkum bo, you're wrong. V'shiba atzlamim, and he broke the tzlamim. V'hischil lehoidia la'am, she'ein roi lavid elokei olam, he started telling people they should worship on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's interesting. He says that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu you should worship to, because if you worship other entities, you transfer your sense of divinity to those entities. So even if you mean it like the second stage or what they did, you mislead people. It's the acts of worshiping and so on and so forth are what give people the sense of who's God. So breaking these avodah zarah is a way of bringing in the emes. When his rayas became stronger than them, the king wanted to kill him. So you know that was that he's referring to the chazal of you know cast him and so on. He began calling out to an entire world. To tell them, the word sham that the Rambam uses here is actually sort of an Arab turn of phrase, even though this was written in Lashon Kodesh. But in Hebrew, the word that there exists is not an easily translatable term. Ramchal uses something very strange phrase to our ears. It's great. It's ein yesh. That does not exist. The word yesh, as sort of a noun to exist. The word yesh in Hebrew is more like a preposition. To speak about it as existence with a capital E is strange. And the Rambam says sheyesh sham. That sort of means that there exists. That's sort of the phrase of it. El kachol v'loy ro alavoy. He would gather people and call out to them. And this is all Vayikra Shem Hashem Hashem, Vayikra, all the Vayikra, he learns that it means, Tzemachleikis, Targum says, it means to be a spalul, he learns it means to speak to them. Achigatskan, Vehu Kore, Shenema Vayikra Shem Hashem Hashem Kel Oilam. Now, the Rambam says, in that Ahava, the mitzvah of Ahava, includes in itself the desire to spread the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, this proselytization was there in order to express his Ahava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next paragraph, I'm going to skip the Ravid's comment here. Bekivin shehoyu ha'om miskapsin lo bishon advarav. People started asking him, he would tell everyone if he died. This is a key phrase, I think. When a person in teaching, there are, you always need to balance two things. You need to balance the precision of what you're teaching and the understanding of the person. So, for instance, let's take an example. In a code of law, you will have typically a very, very crafted formulation of a law, and then an example or two. When a teacher will teach something in physics, he might have the law and then a lot of hesber. There's a balance between, because when you formulate something in a very precise way, you have the emes, but it's really understood completely by the person you're teaching to. On the other hand, when you start explaining, you make it accessible to a person, but you fudge a bit on, you overemphasize something, you exaggerate something, you simplify something, oversimplify something. And that says, you say the drasha, he spoke, he called out to everyone, Rabbi Isai, this is the emes. But he would answer each person, you can't, there's no such thing as, and that's why when people say something, what do you answer somebody who asks this and this? That's not, there's no such thing. Everybody asks a different question, and you're talking to the person, not to the question. It's not an absolute. You can say, you can make an absolute code of animaimens, You can't tell it to people. So Avram did two things. He preached the emes as it is and explained it to each one. This is sort of like the Dalet Bonim, that until thousands came to him, flocked to him. This is what the Torah calls the Anshe Beis Avram. He planted in their hearts this ikar. He made Sfarim. Again, this is Chazal, Sifra Shavram Avinu. And he instructed Yitzchak. Yitzchak sat and he taught and instructed. The only one he instructed was Yaakov. He appointed Yaakov to teach it on. So by Yitzchak, he doesn't express the kol nil me'ilav. By Yaakov, he does. And it's, I think, just because the way we see it in the Torah and Chazal. Yitzchak, we don't find any record of him reaching out, doing things. By Yaakov, we do. V'Yaakov in alamad banav, limed banav kulam. V'hiv de Levi, and he set Levi aside. Umineu roish. V'yeshiva b'yeshiva l'lamed er Hashem l'zim Yisavram. So in other words, because he had a multitude of children, he needed to take one and say, your job is to preserve this emes. All the other ones, their emes will be a bit diluted. They won't have that you're the guardian of the flame. Vitzivas banav shelo yafsiku mibnei Levi mimunach mimunach alimot. That in Levi will always have to have children, that a appointed one, so that this Talmud doesn't become forgotten. And he says, v'adava holich umizkabe b'nei Yaakov nul valem, v'nasis b'olam umah shiras Hashem. There now became an umah that now knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says over here, and this is an important piece, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, individuals do not change or make the world. Nations do. And therefore, we need to take Avram and make a nation out of him, and this is where the nation happened. Ad she'aruch hayom li'yisrael Mitzrayim, and then Klal Yisrael went to Mitzrayim, v'chazu l'lumud maseihem v'lav kol ha'moseim, they became ovdei the avodah zarah like the Mitzrim. Morris, the Chazals, Halol Bezer, Halol Bezer. In the Pesukim, we have no mention of it. It's all Chazal. Chutz v'shevet Levi, Shem Yisavis. Sefer Shevet Levi. U'me'olam lo avad Shevet Levi, Aros Kochavim. Shevet Levi never worshipped Avodah Zarah. And that's why they were the guardians of the faith. U'kimat kot, hoye ikar shesos Avram neka. We were hair breaths away where this ikar of Avram Avinu would have become obliterated. And they would have returned back to it. So Klal Yisrael reached the brink of Avodah Zarah, where they would have fallen off the cliff. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us and he wanted to keep the Shvuah Avram. He made Moshe Rabbeinu the Rabban Shekol Neviim. And he sent him. So now we will get the instruction. There was a change of pace. Instead of having a person telling us the truth as a Kabbalah, we now have Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he made Moshe Rabba Shekol Neviim. Kimush and Estab Moshe Rabbeinu Vach Hashem Yisrael Anachla Ichtirim B'mitzvus V'idiyam Derech HaVedasai U'maye Mishpat HaVez Kachov M'chol HaTei Mechrea. So this is sort of the segue into the Avodah Zarah. Very, very interesting segue into it. In other words, that, because what tells that, we now have the Avodah Zarah, and now we have a whole tzibui, what to do with Avodah Zarah. Okay, we have just a few moments to speak. If anybody wants to speak, I made up the Chatchila, I would stop after every, not, you know, if we'd learn a few Rishonim, we'd stop after everyone and ask if there are any questions. Just one long piece. So I didn't feel right stopping, and also I was a little bit pressed for time. I wanted to do the whole shtickle over here. So we have a minute or two. Anybody has questions, points, issues, whatever?
can unmute yourself. There's a button, unmute, on the screen.
So the Rav said that, you know, reading from the Rambam, that Avraham is not a Hemshech Hashem Ve'Aver. So what sewer did their being Makir as Boreim take that was different than what Avraham did?
I think you're asking what the point of their holding on to the faith was. What's your point?
What was the nature of it? And so far as there's a difference between the way in which Avraham Avinu Hikir is Boro and what they were doing, what was it? What was the Chiddush and what Avraham Avinu did?
I would say that the Chiddush was they had it as historical record. In other words, I mean, this is the real, we have the real history. Avraham Avinu brought into this world that from the context of the world itself, without the historical record, you can also recognize Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't need to come on to this Mesoris, but the world itself, Hashemayim is something quite kale. And that allows for the world to regenerate itself religiously.
And what was the mistake of the Darash? In other words, the Sora, the Tibi Mechala covered to the Shemashim of Hashem to recognize that greatness? Like, what was the Nakuda that they...
So I think this is an obvious one. The religion we have is a very, very tough religion. You're worshiping something that you can't see, you can't imagine. At the minute you imagine something, you're a kofer. You're saying that he has no emotions, that when it says he loves us, it's not really love. It's very, very tough. So how does a person relate to it? It's so much easier when you give it flesh and blood and or rocks and stones and things like that. And that's probably where the emotional mistake came from. It just so much easier to relate to it. Rav Weinberg once said, Rav Yaakov Weinberg said many times, that this is where Christianity got started. It was monotheism had made its mark on the world and people ascribed to it, the Jatozer, but that invisible, unfeeling God was difficult. Now when you have a young man suffering and so on, that's easier to relate to. So you sort of have this image, and the image is a very, very fleshy image, and that's where you're able to relate to.
Does the Rambam have any mocker in Chazal for his history of how Avodah Zarah evolved from this mistake?
I think from the Isurim themselves, the Isur to make an image. Why is an Isur to make an image? There's no Isur to make shatness. There's no, why is this Isur to make images? And his feeling is all of these many Isurim and Avodah Zarah are because they lead a person to Avodah Zarah. Possibly that's where it comes from. That would be a guess.
Is there a question? When Avraham Avinu discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did he know anything other than the fact that there was Eloka Echad? The Rambam describes, he discovered there must be one God. Did he know anything about him, or he began the conversation and revealed?
No, well until HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in his gala, there'd be hard to come up with more points, because the Metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evident in the world. What he wants of this world and so on, much, much harder to divine. It does say in Chazal, L'shaynes of Shnei Kedoshim of Nasik, Shnei Rabbanim, but the Rambam doesn't bring it here, doesn't need to bring it here, but it's not especially mentioned, so I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know.
Was he mechavein, the Rambam describes Elfer, the fact that there's one, it mainly means that there's no guf, because there was guf between
so all these, the items about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, yes, the Rambam himself makes that cheshbon. One and not having a guf is one and the same. That God cannot be from within the world is so that implies all of those. You know, the fundamental belief about Hashem, that is a kadmah, so, but tzchar and onesh and Torah and things of that nature. I don't see how it could have. I mean, in some vague way, maybe that was a chesed created the world, but more than that, I don't see that there's possible to have. Okay, good. Good vach. Yaakov, machar yesh en?
Yes, I just set up the calendar.
Okay, great. Okay, bye.
Good vach.
Yaakov.
You're welcome. Good to see you back.
Good to be back. I'm very excited.
Thanks.